Fantastic.
Every day. I do it. Every day.
Okay. The other thing I want to ask you is that you actually, you know, Dorinda has reincarnated herself so many times, from a nurse to basically an actor.
Model, mother.
Mother, actor.
TV chef.
TV chef. Yeah. Civil celebrant, author.
Yes.
But each time, it didn't show itself what your next step was until you took that initial step.
Correct.
Were you afraid and did you care?
No, because I just thought, well, you know, I saw myself like a river coursing through the desert, right? When I came across a sand dune, an obstacle, and I can't go over it or under it, I coursed my way around it like an Osborne Lake. Found another way of working out. So I can't continue to be a nurse because there's something here that I can't do. Well, I can be an optician. So I go and do optometry or optics. So I can't do that anymore. Well, I need to educate the children, you know. I find them. I can't do that anymore. Oh, well, I need to write a book about this, you know. No, I can't do that. I need to do storytelling. So then I go, you know what? So by the time I feel I'm crossing my way from interior outward, you know, to go and do always use another skill. So I can't use my writing skill. So I use my cooking skill. I can't use my cooking skill. I use my dancing skill.
Were you scared when you were doing this and stepping out?
No, because I knew that I had that talent. I had that in me. Everybody's got something that they can do. And it's that. I think, okay, I can't use this one that I can do. I'll use something else. I know I can do something else.
Okay.
And one of the good things about that is that it gives you the confidence to feel that if all else fails, you have something to fall back on.
Right.
You see? So you do have something to fall back on. You have yourself to fall back on. You have your vision. You have your, you know, all the sensory things that you do, all the practical things that you do. You have something to fall back on.
So
you do.
When you say that, you're doing inventory of what the skills you already have. You call it your survival toolkit.
Yes.
But also, inside yourself, do you have a conversation with a higher power? Do you believe that this is, you know, you're not just here for 80 odd years and you turn into fertilizer? There is a purpose to...
A good way of looking at it.
Yeah, there's a purpose to your existence that goes beyond just living your life here.
Absolutely, absolutely. I harness universal energy, for a start.
Okay, what is your definition of universal?
Universal energy is, I believe that outside of ourselves, there is the atmosphere in which we live, which is full of positiveness, which we don't use. The plants use it. They have it to survive. Plants.
Sunlight, yes.
Sunlight is there. Air is there. Water is there. Firmness, gravity is there. Mm. These are all positive things that we've got. Why don't we use them to help us grow, to help enhance our lives, to help us live, get quality of life? Yep. You know, and so that's what I do. I stand on my balcony as well, generally at weekends, and I talk to the universe. I look outside and I said, hey, universe, I need you today. I need you to come with me and give me the energy, more energy, to enjoy my life. Because I think that we forget to enjoy life. Don't forget to enjoy life. Take a deep breath in, feel your lungs out, and say, thank you, universe, thank you, higher power, thank you. I've got air in my lungs. I can use them, you know, use them. And then I can go out there and I'm full of hot air, at least clean air, and then go and use that to do something. See? So that's what I do. It's very important to realize that you have the tools. You have them.
Okay. So what do you say to somebody who feels that they are really, you know, down to their last dollar, and if they change jobs or went and looked for this other thing, they won't be able to pay their bills?
I have been down to my last dollar before now. You know, I have. You know, when my marriage finished and I had two kids and I had to look after, I was feeling sorry for myself. You know, I was in a terrible place. And I thought, no, Lord, I'm in a country that is, macho country. You know, paternalistic country. Australia is a paternalistic country. You know, the men have all the power, you know, in Australia. And I just thought, here I am. And racism was rife. So here I was. I had all the, what other people might see are the negatives.
Yeah.
You know, I was fat. And a woman. I had an accent because I'm of African descent. I'm a mother, two kids to look after. And I'm black. And I'm an artist. You know, people think, oh, Lord. What else does she need to have to make her, you know, persona non grata sort of thing. But I didn't see it that way. I thought, okay, I've got all those things, but guess what? That makes me different from everybody else out there. See, everybody else is out there, is looking gorgeous and tall and all of this sort of thing, what is seen in the society as funky. But guess what? You get sick of seeing perfect roses in the garden the whole time. Every so often, you need to see one defective one to remind you that you're all right. So therefore, I'm going to be the difference. So that difference is going to work for me. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be different. I'm going to ask if I can come and talk to the kids in the schools so that they can see the difference. You know, that being different is good. You know, I can go and ask him, do you want me to babysit your kids? Do you want me to teach you about African cuisine? Now, guess what? You know of lots of other cuisines, but you've never had African food. All right, go for it. You see, so already I turned that around to work for me. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
But that takes chutzpah, you know? Some people don't chutzpah. Have the balls to do
that.
The
chutzpah. No, you can do it. I mean, in this day and age, it's a lot easier. You can do it online. You can send messages, emails, you know, to people and say, I'm here, or join LinkedIn, or, you know, some different organizations. Go on Facebook.
So there's no excuse.
No excuse. Go and harass the radio stations. You know, when I did my television show, when I got the first show I got, I wasn't given a chance to put it on the television. I did something very bizarre. I got to tell you this. I went and got myself a drink and a sandwich, and I sat outside the gents' toilet of the TV station because I knew the executives had to go a pee-pee once sometime. So as they were on their way to go to the loo, I accosted them because I saw the pictures of them, what they looked like, and who was who had which title. So when they came, I saw them about to enter the gents. I stopped them. I said, excuse me, I got something to tell you. Now, a man in a hurry to do his business, you know, he has to give you a few seconds only. He's going in there. So I said, all right. So I waited till they got in there, and then I wedged my foot in the door so that it was partially open without me having to look in there. And I just talked through the crack in the door. Say, I've got to pitch my case to you. I'm very good at cooking. I'll talk about African cooking, and I've been doing it in the schools, blah, blah, blah. And they came out, and they thought, oh, no, this woman is terrible. We can't leave her sitting outside the gents' room. Let's talk to her, find out what she wants, and let her go. I got my audience. Now, I went about it in a kind of a step beyond the square.
Yeah.
A very unorthodox way to get an interview, to talk to the gentleman, the boss, as he's having a visit to the gentleman's,
toilets, yes.
Toilets, you know. But sometimes desperate things call for desperate measures.
Yes.
You know, when you're desperate enough, you do things, positive things, but you find a way of doing them.
Yeah.
And that's one of the ways in which I did it. And I got my show. I got money given to me to do a pilot. Say, I'm going to do a pilot. If it comes back and it's good enough, we'll deal with it. Well, it came back and it was good enough because they never thought that something like that could happen here.
In a town, this particular city is very Anglo-Saxon, by the way.
That's right.
So, and like Dorinda was saying, back then, very, and it still is patriarchal, very, yeah.
Yes. So for them to suddenly see somebody like me out there in the marketplace, places that exist already here. I go there with my camera and I will film me talking to people, interacting, buying stuff, talking to camera, people at home about how they can use this sort of stuff in a different way to what they're used to.
And cooking it.
And then getting independent people out there, grabbing people from the street to come and taste it. You know, it's not happened before. It's something new. So I gave the executives, the producers, another idea. And they thought, that's interesting. That might actually get an audience. Bingo. Now, if I'd sat at home feeling sorry for myself because, oh, poor me, I'm black and I'm short and I'm a woman and I've got all of this sort of thing, I would never have made it.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
But I got out there and created the opportunity for myself.
Basically, you believed in yourself enough to take that first step. And for all you know, they could have said no.
Correct. But what did I have to lose?
Yes, exactly right.
If they said no, like the river or the water, I'll find another way. Do you know, I used to ring up and they'll say, oh, well, they can't see you. They're very busy. They're, you know, busy. And I say, okay, obviously today is not a good day. So I wait 2 days and I ring back again. I say, oh, I know, I rang on Monday. But now today is Wednesday. I know Monday wasn't a good day, but today it may be a better day. And then they said, no, nothing's changed. I said, oh, I see. All right, okay. Then Friday, I ring again. Say, hello, it's me again. You know, after a while, you become a pest. It's easier to give you what you want to get rid of you than not to be, you know. And I always sound cheerful because I don't want to go and whinge to them and say, oh, you didn't talk to me last time. No, I'm not going from there. Oh, I know you had a problem last time. In other words, you were busy. You were missing out on my opportunity, me as your opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's the way I look at it. So before I talk, when you're going to make calls like that, a little tip, don't sit down. When you make your call, stand up. Because when you're standing up, it gives you more confidence. Even though they can't see you the other end of the phone, you are confident in your voice because you're standing up. You're in charge of that conversation, you see?
Mm.
And then a little tip for you.
That's fantastic. So really, one of the things I hear also is the fact that you're persistent. Just because you heard no once,
that's right,
doesn't mean it's no forever. It's no, not today.
That's right. Not today, Josephine, but tomorrow maybe. No, 2 days later. That's okay. I'm patient. I'll be here. I'm tenacious. I know you need me. You really do need me. Just hear me out, you know. Just let me just show you something. No, you don't like it this way. I'll be back tomorrow because I've got other things I can show you. So after a while, people think, okay, now let's just put it out there and see what happens.
Right.
And it may work, it may not work. It doesn't matter. But you did try.
Okay. So how do you deal with one of the things that people are most afraid of is rejection?
Yes, okay. I get rejected a lot, but I don't see it as rejection. You see, I see it as they are missing out on me.
Okay. But do you also see it as feedback that you could pitch it slightly different next time?
My dear, my philosophy is criticism is a free market research. I didn't have to pay for it. Somebody told me how bad I am or something. They've done me a favor. I can improve on my skills. I can get better at it. You say I can't sing. You're right. Maybe nobody told me that I couldn't sing. I thought I could sing. You say, oh, my dear lady, you sound terrible. Thank you very much for the market research. I'll go and get a singing teacher. You see what I'm saying? So criticism is good.
Okay.
You know, don't ever see criticism. There's criticism. Some of it is nasty.
Yes.
But when it's nasty, then it's the other person's got a problem. They got indigestion. They need to go and take some, you know, antacid. They got problems with themselves. They don't like themselves. And they need to project it onto you to make them feel better. So I don't see it as me.
Mm-hmm.
Constructive criticism, I take on board as a kindness. I say, thank you very much for letting me know how horrible I am at this. It's nice of you to tell me. Now I can get better. You see? But what are you going to do about yourself? Are you going to remain nasty? Or are you going to improve yourself? You know, this is it. I'm going to get better. You've done me a favor.
Mm. So when you do that, do you... everybody's got an ego, and so yes, it can get a bit bruised. So do you, like, retreat, take time to... You know, think about it. It go into a place where it's, I guess, kind to you and safe to you, like yours, your sanctuary, and then process what's been going on and the conversations you had, and then work from there.
Yes, you see, one of the good things about losing weight, that's one of the side benefits, is that when you feel healthy, you don't take on board negative energy. Your ego is harder to bruise when you're healthy. Because when you look in that mirror in the mornings,
you think, I'm hot.
That's it. You see yourself, you look good, man. You know, anything, huh? And I feel good. So why? It's not my ego that suffers, it's yours. You want to bruise my ego. How are you going to bruise it? I'm healthy. I'm fit. I'm, you know, eating well. I look good. I'm out there. I'm doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't like me, that's your problem. Sorry, I can't help you.
That was a great piece of advice, folks out there. You know, if you want to talk to Dorinda, she's here now. Please do Skype in and whatever comments or questions you have, because this lady has lived like several lifetimes that most people would have trouble living in one lifetime. and it's still going, by the way. I'm sure, you know, we won't hear the last Dorinda as being a civil celebrant. Something else will come out.
No. I'm a student of life. I keep learning.
Exactly right.
I have not finished. I'm still learning. Life is a long way. It's varied. And I'm learning. When you stop learning, you're dead.
Yeah. Okay. So the take-home message is basically look after yourself physically.
Yes.
On the outside, but also
and the
internally.
Inside. Yes. Yes.
So in case of feeding yourself properly, is it also saying I respect myself and I'm not putting junk food in my mouth?
Correct. If you like yourself, you respect yourself. You take care of yourself.
Mm.
And remember, all the people that are out there that you love, if you're not alive and you're not fit and you're healthy, you can't share the love. You can't give to them.
Yep.
So you need to look after number one.
Okay. Lady Red TV in blog says, you are awesome, Dorinda.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. So are you. We are kindred spirits, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask you this, because this show is called Your Money and Your Mindset.
Yes.
And I'm a firm believer that if you chase your passion, chase your dreams down,
the money comes.
The money comes.
Yes.
So for you, when you said, you know, there were times when you were down to your last dollar, single mother, two kids, and it's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? Practically, how did you make ends meet so that you kept the faith that this is what this is who I am, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to chase down that dream? You know, but man, I still got bills to pay.
Well, look, it's very simple. I had one skill that I knew of. I could cook.
Yeah.
I'm an awesome cook. So I thought, what can I do with a bag of black-eyed peas? Beans. I'm going to become the gourmet cook of beans. Because one bag of beans can feed me and my kids for maybe a week or two.
Yeah.
Because of what I can do with it. You know, I can make bean puffs. You know, I can make bean pates, bean soup. You know, I can make bean pies. You know, I can make a lot of stuff with beans. And so, you know, by adding maybe an egg, you know, I can also add maybe a little bit of vegetable that I've got. Inexpensive cooking. That's one.
But nutritious.
Nutritious, because it's secondary protein.
Beans, yes.
Yes,
that's right.
Black-eyed beans. I can make a lot of things out of it. I can also make a lot of things out of vegetables. I can make a spoon bread. Like I can make it like a quiche. But it's all vegetable, layered vegetable with beaten egg and milk. And then a little bit of cheese on top, and I can bake it like a pie. I can slice it up. The kids can take some to school. We can have some. And I can take the rest of the vegetables that I don't use from that pie. I cook up and put it with stock as soup. You see? And we have it with bread, like good quality bread. Yeah. Not a lot. So I thought, well, that's one way of surviving, you know? And the rest of the stuff, I'll go and teach the local kids in the schools for a fee. Go to the education department, say, I can teach these children how to eat properly. I'm poor, you know, and I know how to survive healthily on poverty. So why don't you let me share these skills for a fee? Give me a job. That's what I mean.
So basically you turned up at the education department and said,
yeah,
and you pitched it.
And yeah. And then they said, you have to go to individual schools. So I said, right. So I made a list. I went to the library, made a list of my local schools, and I went in there and saw the principal. And I said, I will teach the kids how to eat properly. I'll show them.
How to cook.
Yes, how to cook. And I'll bring the stuff. You know, you give me, I'll give you a recipe. I'll write it up. And then you can tell me how much it's going to cost you. Or I'll tell you how much it's going to cost. You pay for that. I'll go and buy the stuff. And I'll bring some. Why don't I start cooking for the staff in the staff room? So you taste the food. You know what I'm going to teach your kids. See?
Mm.
You pay for it and I come there.
And that started
you. That's right. And whatever is left there, I take home for me and my kids. You know?
Free.
Yes, free. That's right.
Paid for by the SA Education Department.
Correct.
Fantastic. So do you also sort of, I know in our culture, there's a lot of food that is still edible but gets thrown out.
I know.
Which is wasted.
Oh, you're on my case. You talked to my greengrocer.
Okay, look, it says, do you grow your own vegetables, Dorinda? That's a question.
I do. In fact, I can turn around here and look. And I've got a balcony. And
I can vouch for that.
Now I've got spinach growing in a pot. I've got rosemary. I've got limes. I've got spinach. I've got grapes. I've got thyme. I've got lots of stuff. And oranges, yes. I grow my stuff as well.
Mm.
But, you know, one of the things that I use, I go to my greengrocer and you might want to know this. They throw away the celery leaves, would you believe? They're crazy. So I said to them, I'll come Wednesdays and Saturdays, keep them for me. I'll come and collect them and I juice them. Apple, celery and ginger. Yum!
Wow.
It's a zinger. It's a healthy drink and it's fantastic. And guess what? The celery is free. You only have to pay for the apple and the ginger. You don't need too much ginger.
Wow.
See, they throw it away, but I get it. I say, no, I'll have it.
Right. So this is something that people anywhere in the world where you have access to a supermarket.
Yes.
Because I've seen bread that's, you know, a day over.
Yes.
It's thrown out, which I think is ridiculously.
Right. That's madness. That's madness. You can make breadcrumbs with it, you know, bring it home.
Bread and butter pudding.
Well, slice it up and toast it. You can make bread and butter pudding, but you can toast it, make breadcrumbs with it. And you can make the coating for different dishes with it, fish or chicken or whatever. You can use it for lots of things.
All right.
You can use it as part of your stuffing.
Yeah, that's right too. But just going back to the fresh veg, because I'm a big fan of fresh fruit and veg. what else can you do if you went to your greengrocer and they were throwing out things like, okay, you've done the apples, carrots, tomatoes.
Oh, my.
Let's see, what else? Carrots, tomatoes, and silver beet.
Hey, you can do ratatouille. You can make cook it all up together and serve it up as a vegetable compote. Okay. Or you can make it into soups.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Or you can make gazpacho.
Ah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, you can make all sorts of stuff.
Got a question here. Is there a way to eat beans without getting so gassy?
Ah, yes. Add ginger. You know, add ginger to your food and you won't get so gassy. Fresh ginger, that is, not powdered ginger. Right. Yeah, grated fresh ginger and put it in muslin and squeeze the juice and put it in with your meal. Yeah?
Wow.
And as you cook, yes. Catch the gas. You know, one of my fantasies is anybody out there who wants to fund me, I want to do the kitchen pharmacy of food as medicine. I want to do a cooking series based on the kitchen pharmacy. You know, where people can eat for health.
Yeah.
For low cost, but I'll produce the food for you and show you what you have in your locality, what you can do with it, how you can eat it to keep you healthy. But nobody's come up with the money, so I'm still sitting here waiting.
All right, we're putting it out there to everybody out in Stick'em and Blog TV land. If you do know of somebody who can hook up with Dorinda of this amazing idea where you eat to become healthy in a sense that it's got medicinal without tasting like yuck.
Oh, no, like cardboard. No. Do you know, I don't like chicken breast. Everybody says, as soon as you say you are watching your weight and you want to eat healthily and you want to eat chicken, they say chicken breast. Now, wait. I like food. I want to taste food. One of my two words are savor, flavor. Savor the flavor. Okay. So, if it doesn't taste good, I won't stick with it. I won't eat it. And I won't enjoy it. No. You want to feed your soul. So, use the leg meat, the darker meat. Yeah. Enjoy it. You know, that's what you need to do. Use that to cook. And you get a flavor and a taste. And you feel satiated. Mm. So you are less likely to go out and eat junk.
All right. Question for you. This is a left field one. What do you feel about, mass production where there's a lot of antibiotics put into meats these days?
Not these days. They used to do it. My daughter was like that. And me, I've been allergic to penicillin. Because of that, I couldn't have milk. Because they used to inject their cows with penicillin to protect them against bovine TB.
Yep.
Right. So that means you can't have milk if you're allergic to penicillin. That's crazy. You know? So why don't I have soy milk? And then you got genetic engineering or you get sprays, you know? You got to look out. I'm very, very strict. When I go shopping, I look on the label. I spend extra time looking on the label. And I will go and get it from the freshest of places that I can find. Right. And if I can't and I have to go to a grocery store, then I read the label. That thing about saying fat-free. I've seen so many fat-free, and they don't tell you it's loaded with 98% sugar. It's no good. So I don't do that stuff.
Okay, so it's also in Honey, I Shrunk the Chef, you talk about being clever reading labels.
Yes.
And not to be, misled.
Correct.
The word, yes,
correct.
By things like, say, I love it when they have packaging for vegetable type foods that says no cholesterol. It's like
there's no vegetable. It's vegetable.
It's a vegetable.
There's no cholesterol anyway.
Yeah, cholesterol only occurs in animals. Can be found in animals, and that's the thing that basically sucks people into.
I know. Look, you're clever. You're smart out there. Don't let them fool you. You can read. Check the label. Think about it. Use your head and say, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get at my purse strings. They want my money. They'll feed me any nonsense to get at my money. No, you've earned that money. You worked hard to get it. You don't want to part with it, especially when it's not going to do you good. Because otherwise, they'll wreck in your body and take in your dough. No.
Double whammy.
That's right.
So can you hold up your book again? Because this is just in time for Christmas, folks, that you can eat well. It's called Honey, I Shrunk the Chef.
That's me on there.
That's Dorinda. And there's actually a scratch and sniff.
Yes.
Present in
Wait
there.
Wait a minute. Let me just see if it's in here. Where is my scratch and sniff? I think it's on there, isn't it?
It's over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just grab it for you.
So before we go.
There's a scratch and sniff. Where are we? Oh,
here we are.
There.
If you buy that book, you're going to get quite a surprise.
You scratch my heart there, and you get vanilla flavor. Scratch, scratch, scratch.
Beautiful.
It's a bookmark.
Okay, so the last thing before we go, you know, everybody I ask is, they want to leave something behind that's bigger than them. So what is your legacy, Belinda?
Nothing should stop you from being you. You know, Kate Moss, the British model, many years was quoted as saying, nothing tastes as good as skinny does. I beg to differ. I'll say nothing tastes as good as healthy does. So all I ask you out there is that never let anything restrict you. Go out there, use your hands, grab life by the strings, and race with it. Go, live for your dreams. Let nothing stop you.
Well, this woman is testament to the fact that she walks her talk, and just the way she's reinvented herself. And I know it's not going to be the last time we hear from Dorinda, because I'd love to have you back on the show after you've got your cookbook and got the feedback to see how things go with you. And, you know, you're testament to the fact that just because at one stage you were overweight, it doesn't stop you. You can change things. You can turn things around.
Yes.
You know, and you can't use the old excuse, I'm getting too old, because you're never too old.
No. Well, I'm 65.
You wouldn't think, would you?
I'm 65. One little step at a time, one little bit. You know, don't forget, the journey of 1,000 steps started with just the first one. So take that step. If Dorinda can do it, so can you.
Eat
small and often, and eat only the best, because you are the best. It's true.
Fantastic. So on that note, I'd like to thank everybody who's participated in this show. I'd like to thank